This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Friday, July 22nd. I'm Angela Denning. Nearly 200 passengers were stranded in Petersburg this week after a mechanical issue on one of Southeast Alaska's main ferries caused it to stall here Wednesday morning. KFSK's Abby Collins met a few of those passengers before they left town late last night.
Larry Banwart and his brother Steve were living the dream, riding their motorcycles up the Alcan from Phoenix.
I had a three-week vacation, and my brother came down to meet me, and we decided we're going to ride our bikes to Alaska. And
it's our bucket list.
They reached Alaska and boarded the Columbia Ferry to head back down to Bellingham, Washington, and that's when they hit a snag.
Then I called my boss this morning, told him I'm going to be a few days late back to work.
That's because they were stuck in Petersburg after the ferry broke down Wednesday morning. Banwart says passengers have been told the best-case scenario gets them to Bellingham, Washington, Saturday evening.
Best case. Worst case, we have no idea. Live here.
Alaska Marine Highway System spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says a mechanical issue with the ship's starboard engine required the ferry to remain moored. That issue has since been resolved, and the boat sailed to Ketchikan late Thursday night. It's expected to depart for Bellingham about 48 hours behind schedule. The Columbia is one of Alaska's main ferries, running routes between Skagway and Bellingham. It will now be running on a revised schedule through the end of the month. The ferry will then be dry docked in Ketchikan for a few days while an oil leak is repaired. It's expected to be back up and running on August 3rd. While waiting in Petersburg, passengers were provided free meals. As far as sleeping goes, Woodrow says people are given staterooms if they're available. But some, like the Banwart brothers, slept in tents, others wherever they could find a spot. Steve Banwart says he doesn't mind the camping or the delay.
I don't have a job, so I have nowhere to go. It doesn't matter to me if we get stuck here for another week, so.
Joe Uhas, a motorcyclist from Minnesota, says he's not too concerned about getting home later than expected, but he did have to cancel all of his reservations for his road trip back.
So based on whenever we land, I'll reschedule everything to get home. All my hotels have been canceled, so I'm freewheeling it all the way home from here.
There were a few alternatives for people, other ferries and some flights, but for those headed to Bellingham, the Columbia is the only ferry option. Uhas and the Banwarts have their motorcycles on the ship, so they stayed on board until the engine started running. In Petersburg, I'm Abby Collins.
Haines' recent water problems seemed to be resolved. The boil notice for certain areas is no longer in effect. Water use restrictions are no longer in place, and the transmission problem that started it all is fixed. Emily Files has more from Haines.
The boil notice was implemented Monday evening because some areas of town experienced a drop in water pressure that puts it at risk for contamination. Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan says six samples collected from the water lines in question all came back negative for harmful bacteria.
Which means that the water is and was safe to drink.
The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation closed the boil water notice at about 4 p.m. Wednesday. Earlier in the day, the water use restriction that had been in place since Monday was also taken down. Ryan says the municipal water system is filling back up after reaching dangerously low levels earlier this week. The borough's main water source, Lily Lake, was blocked by an airlock in the transmission line.
Lily Lake is actually seems to be improving every day. We're pumping out a lot of water there still, and we're gaining pressure on the transmission line.
The borough used the Crystal Cathedral's well, also known as Wellfield, to supplement while Lily Lake was down. Ryan says they've now shut the well water off.
Some people have been calling because the well-filled water has a taste to it, and so people that aren't used to getting it are noticing a flavor, and that should go away as the Lily Lake system kind of infiltrates the system.
Ryan says after a few days of chaos, everything seems to be running smoothly. He says he appreciates how many people, including those who received boil notices, stayed positive during an inconvenient situation. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
There were a few temperature records broken throughout Southeast Alaska earlier this week. The Juneau office of the National Weather Service says Hoonah reached 82 degrees on Tuesday, breaking the old record of 74 set in 2003. An observer in Haines says the temperature reached 81, breaking the record of 78 set in 2003. An observer in Hyder says the high temperature was 83 degrees, breaking the record of 75 set last year. Also on Tuesday, an observer in Kaufman Cove says it got up to 78 degrees, breaking the old record of 76 set in 1972. Craig reached 77 degrees, breaking the record of 73 set back in 2003. Snohomish Power Plant reached 78 degrees, breaking the record of 70 set in 07. The 73-degree high temperature in Point Baker on Tuesday broke the old record of 67 set in 2005. The end of the road on the west side of Douglas Island reached 82 degrees, breaking the record of 77 set in 2001. And on Monday, the record high temperature of 82 at the Juneau Airport tied the old record originally set in 1947. Yesterday was the last day of the Republican National Convention, and in Sitka, the longest-serving Republican came to visit. Representative Donald Young was scheduled to speak to the Chamber of Commerce at noon, but he first had to pass through a group of pretty disgruntled constituents. KCAW's Emily Kwong was there at the small but mighty picket line.
Seven Sitkins are clustered at the back entrance of the Westmark Hotel, awaiting Congressman Young and bearing signs written in black marker. Andrew Tomes' sign says, "Congratulations on your retirement."
It's a not-so-subliminal message that it's time for Don Young to pass on the reins of leadership to the next generation that's going to have to deal with all of the issues that we're facing as a state that he's not dealing with, especially climate change.
Throughout his 44 years in office, Young has maintained his position that climate change is not caused by human activity and that guns shouldn't be regulated. This bothers Don Mueller.
Well, NRA has given him an A+. You don't get an NRA A+ by being open-minded about gun control.
Leading the group was a Vietnam veteran, but he asked not to be named. The group circled the Westmark twice. Traffic on Lincoln Street took note, and while a few passerby gave them fist bumps in solidarity, others weren't so polite.
What'd he do?
He gave me the finger.
Seriously? That's... And then a car slows down. Guy sticks his neck out the window and says, "You guys are pissing me off and doing a good job of it. Keep it up." I ask demonstrator Cindy Littman, what is it like protesting in Sitka?
It's uncomfortable to be out here, but I would welcome an opportunity for someone to ask me about why I'm standing here and actually have a conversation about it.
Littman wishes more of Sitka's liberal community had come out, but isn't surprised by the low turnout.
People just don't feel like he's responsive at all, and that was my first reaction, was to not even bother to come out.
And then the moment everyone's been waiting for. Congressman Young comes up the sidewalk.
Glad you spelled my name right.
And after bidding them good luck, walks into the hotel. Young soon takes to the podium and says, "I like when people protest me.
It means I'm being recognized. They may not agree with me, but at least they know I'm alive and well and doing my job." I noticed one sign said, "Enjoy your retirement." And believe me, if I was to be beat or if I was retired, I'd enjoy it. I think I'm good for the state.
This is a campaign year for Young, and his remarks circle back to why he's good for Alaska and Alaska's economy.
There's only one real wealth in this country and this state, and that's resources and the development of the manufacturing from.
Last fall, Young introduced a bill that gives the state access to 2 million acres of federal land for timber harvest. President Obama is unlikely to sign it. But Young was victorious more recently, adding 5 amendments to an interior appropriations bill that would roll back part of the federal management's plan for Alaska in favor of state rules.
No one else does that. It's because of seniority and knowledge and people that play the game.
Of his challenger, Democrat Steve Lindbeck, who is the former general manager of Alaska Public Media, Young says he's not feeling much of a threat.
I'll call him a gentleman. He's too old for the job. I'm 83 years old. He's 63. But when he gets my age, he'll be dead. And that's the facts of life. And I'm good at this. I'm fired up. I got a great new wife. And that's going to be up to you and the chambers and the business people of this community and the people of Alaska. And those people that protest me out there, let them have at it. I'm still here.
Watching him speak was Young's new wife, Anne, a flight nurse from Fairbanks. As for the presidential election, Young says he hasn't made up his mind yet.
Right up front, I've never been a Trump fan. I'm going to vote for him if I vote for somebody. I'm certainly not going to vote for Hillary because that's another 8 years of Obama. More regulations. He's pumping out the regulations by the thousands right now.
Young isn't the only one concerned about federal overreach. For while he was speaking, another protest formed a few yards away. Six Sikkins are waving a variety of flags. Americans, support our troops, don't tread on me. Jake Denherter said he organized the pop-up rally in response to the demonstration for Don Young and its anti-gun messages.
We already have too many gun laws in this country, and so I thought I'd go come down and show everybody what I think.
Standing in the roundabout, Denherter has an assault rifle, a SCAR 17308 slung across his shoulder. Dave Fowler saw Denherter, pulled over, and joined in.
It's not about hunting, and it's not about really about even personal defense. It's about being able to defend yourself against unruly government.
This protest, unlike the other one, is receiving a chorus of honking horns. But the groups are in agreement about one thing.
Congressman Young, what do you think of him?
He's been there too long. He needs to go. We need fresh people. We need Tea Party guys in there.
I gotta say, it's pretty unusual in Sitka to see so much political demonstration from both parties in one city block. But in a way, all these individuals, Congressman Young included, are exercising one thing, and that's our freedom of speech. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
A Metlakatla resident is heading to the City of Brotherly Love next week as an alternate delegate to the Democratic National Convention. KRBD's Layla Carey has more from Ketchikan.
Gavin Hudson says he's an unashamed progressive Alaska liberal.
And the champion of American liberalism and progressivism in America today is Senator Bernie Sanders, who's an independent from Vermont. And I've been a fan of his for a long time, way before he declared his candidacy to be the Democratic nominee.
So when Sanders did declare his candidacy, Hudson says that inspired him to get involved with the Democratic Party. He says he and other like-minded friends attended the District 36 Democratic Caucus in Ketchikan in support of Sanders, who won Alaska's Democratic vote by a wide margin. When it came time to choose the District 36 state convention delegates, Hudson says he put his name in for consideration, along with others who were interested in representing the region.
We all got to give a little speech, and I just told them how passionate I am about Bernie and who I am and where I come from, and they seemed to like that, and I got a lot of votes.
During that state Democratic convention, Sanders was formally endorsed and awarded 13 delegates to Hillary Clinton's 3. Hudson says he put his name into the pool of state delegates who wanted to represent Alaska Democrats at the national convention. He says there was a long line of candidates and they had only 2 minutes to present their case.
I talked about why Bernie is my hero and how he's been my hero for a long time and how I will never falter in my support of him, and we will do everything we can to convince the Hillary people to change their vote for him and nominate him to be our next president. It seemed to go over well enough that I wasn't voted in as a full delegate, but I was far enough up the list that I was qualified as an alternate.
So Hudson raised funds online to help pay his way to represent Alaska Democrats in Philadelphia. As an alternate, he'll fill in if one of the delegates is sick or otherwise unable to attend an official function. Hudson says he'd love to be the one to announce during the convention's roll call vote,
"Madam Secretary, the great state of Alaska casts its votes for the next president of the United States, Senator Bernie Sanders."
Hudson says he remains committed to his support of Senator Sanders, who, although endorsing Hillary Clinton as the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, has not formally conceded. It's unlikely that Sanders will become the nominee, though, and Hudson says if Clinton is, he will vote for her.
I will plug my nose and eat my vegetables, and I'll pull the lever for Hillary if need be. But it's not over yet. I'm committed to this process. I was elected to do a job, and I'm going to see it through to the end.
During the convention, Hudson plans to attend various caucuses for rural, LGBT, and indigenous Native American interests and the Young Democrats meeting. Then there are the evening floor speeches.
Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, Vice President Joe Biden, and then Bernie Sanders. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful lineup of speeches.
Hudson says he plans to stay in Philadelphia a couple days after the convention to see the city and some of its historic sites, such as the Liberty Bell. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Alaska Supreme Court has overturned the state's parental notification law for minors who are seeking abortions. The voter-passed initiative required unmarried women under 18 who wanted to terminate their pregnancies to notify their parents 48 hours before the procedure. They could go to court and ask a judge for an exception. The opinion written by Justice Daniel Winfrey says that the notification law violates the Equal Protection Clause of the state's constitution. It treated young women who wanted to terminate their pregnancies and ones who wanted to carry the baby to term differently. Three justices concurred with the decision but said the law violated the Privacy Clause of the Constitution, not the Equal Protection. Justice Craig Stowers dissented. Legal counsel for Planned Parenthood of the Greater Northwest, one of the plaintiffs, says they are very gratified by the decision. And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.